I can't believe what I'm watching here right now. Hold on.
It seems wrong, but it's not really happening.
You know, what we do here at the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantz is every afternoon is not only do we prepare tirelessly to get what we're going to prepare, what we're going to put on the air, but we also watch what's happening as we're speaking. And right now, the CEO of the Trump Organization is on CNN telling Jake Tapper that Donald Trump has a wonderful memory, has never said anything publicly that is inaccurate.
Yeah, which
He's
responding to the New Jersey celebrations that Trump is still sticking to his story that thousands of people were celebrating in the wake of 9/11. But to make that statement that he's never, I've worked for him for a number of years and he's never made a statement that's inaccurate.
Okay.
I can't believe he said that.
A.B. Stoddard is joining us from The Hill. A great publication in Washington D.C. and you see AB all over the television, all over the TV, talking about all of these things that are of great import. AB, can you believe what we're just reporting here? That Michael Cohen is
reporting. AB's like, I've seen everything and heard everything.
Donald Trump has never ever made a misstatement ever in his life. Is that correct?
I just can't get over the confluence of his post Paris tweets, his post Paris policy proposals, the strange remembering of something that didn't happen, or he has no videotape that he can find to back up of the celebrations after 9/11 and the 100 black pastors that were supposed to endorse him, but turned into a great meeting they had with so much love in the room.
I got to ask you this question. Yeah, I just saw some of the news of him coming out. He had an impromptu press conference. He said he didn't want to have a press conference, but he had a press conference anyway, and. He was there. He had one minister with him who was talking about how great he is and how this minister is going to try and convince other ministers to get behind him. But then to Donald Trump's right was Omarosa, the woman from one of the apprentice seasons, the regular apprentice seasons. And then she came back on Celebrity Apprentice because her wackiness on The Apprentice made her a celebrity. And Omarosa is black. And as a matter of fact, if you watch those episodes, that particular season, I still watch that show back
then.
Very
entertaining.
They made her into a very evil character on that show. And yet now she is standing there at the right hand of Donald Trump. For what?
What's going on there?
What?
Well, I think that he uses his celebrity, to his benefit, and that's part of his appeal. And I think that he believes that. I mean, he believes strongly in The Apprentice, and he believes it's a successful venture for him, and it's helped his reputation and helped his, his leadership posture. He's running on that. He is, the boss of bosses and gets everyone below him succeeds. And he knows how to make the right decisions. He knows people. He's the gut instincts. And he's the only one that can make America great again. I do think this whole thing today, while it was designed, obviously, to look great for him, and he would have loved more endorsements and he would have loved for it to go smoothly, the fact that they were able to sort of rescue it from being an embarrassing event and have some people come out and he was able to say that they still had the meeting and people showed up and he got some endorsements is a way to change the subject from this conversation over Meet the Press yesterday about, whether or not he's going to be able to use retweets as a credible argument for anything going forward, from people who love him and who are his followers saying they did also indeed one time see something like that on videotape. He's the master of changing the subject. So when a debate goes badly, as we've noticed, there's a discussion the next day about a moderator or something. There's always a way to change the subject. And it's sort of the art of distraction. And
right.
Even if it seems to us like it's a wacky change of topic to something that is still kind of strange and not doesn't make him look good, it is a way of changing the topic.
He did, the Post wrote an article yesterday about, there was an editorial yesterday about his circular logic that he uses consistently, which is right. exactly what you're talking about, which is this notion that he backs up his own facts based on people who are his supporters posting things on Twitter. Well, it must be true if they posted it, right? So, and right. and as we all know, I mean, there's no these aren't referee journals. These are not major newspapers that have come out and said this is exactly what happened, or credible television news organizations or any of those things. Because those people, you know, and people don't get paid to be on Twitter, except for the Kardashians, apparently. But in newsrooms, AB, you get paid to write a column. If your column isn't right, you don't get paid. You get fired. You don't get paid. I mean, that's the way it is. It's the same right. sort of thing with, you know, with journalists across this nation who get paid mm-hmm. for their work. Somebody, you know, writing anything on Twitter, it just doesn't work like that. You could put anything up there and there are no consequences, except that Donald Trump will retweet you and say, "You're a genius and I love you." All right, now let me ask.
If you follow him on Twitter, and you, as I do for my job, and you see how much time he spends just criticizing people who are on political panels, on cables and stuff, you would worry about how he would spend his time as leader of the free world and commander in chief, you know, in a job that where he has to keep us safe from ISIS. He spends far too much time actually sitting on Twitter himself, you know, picking on people, and I'm sure he has better uses of his time. But he has been able, through social media and his celebrity, build these crowds of 12,000 or 10,000 at rallies, get himself, you know, to the top of the polls, stay there. And this circular logic that we're talking about is effective for him. I mean, since Paris, he tweeted in the first few days afterwards about how Vanity Fair is a crappy magazine, Ronda Rousey, Karl Rove's a loser, all these things. And then he did also, you know, talk about the refugee situation. So instead of coming up with a plan for how we must tackle ISIS and how we would do it effectively, because we have been trying, and whatever we're doing is not working, he says, bomb the hell out of them, which we've been bombing. And then he says, you know, he talks about the refugee situation. So to the primary electorate in the Republican Party, which is all he has to win over right now, that topic of how scary the idea of these refugees coming in here is enough. And yeah. So you don't have to talk about what you do in the Middle East. You talk about what you do here. And you keep the refugees out. And this is enough with this primary electorate until and unless the numbers change. To keep him in first place.
All right. So Jeb Bush appeared on the Steve Cochran Show on WGN this morning, and he Jeb Bush is sort of, you know, there's this notion, I believe, in the Jeb Bush campaign that says slow and steady wins the race here. But is it? And I know a couple of weeks ago you wrote a piece about the fact that his performance in that debate in the middle of November certainly helped him keep his donors interested, and that's very, very important. But is it too late? I mean, are we getting to a point now? Because it's on right now, right, in Iowa. I mean, we're within 2 months of the primary here, or the caucus in Iowa. So is it too late for guys like Jeb Bush and John Kasich and your more mainstream conventional Republicans?
Right. They really are dealing with an unprecedented situation with Trump in the lead for four or more months. They're also dealing with an unprecedented sort of party division. I mean, it's so volatile and so just angry that there are two bets right now. Either it's a totally new party and everything's going to change and Trump's going to be the nominee, or we're going to go back to a dust-settling pattern that we've seen for 30 years where the party chooses the establishment candidate.
Can you imagine?
If you're John Kasich and you're the governor of – you're two-term governor of one of the most important two battleground states in the country, mm-hmm. and, you know, why are you going to get out? If you're Chris Christie and you're down in the polls but you're doing well in New Hampshire and you got the union leader endorsement in New Hampshire over the weekend, why are you going to get out? If you're Jeb Bush and you've got the money and you have good endorsements and people believe in you, why are you going to get out? Because they're all hoping there's a post-Carson, post-Trump reordering of the race with a new game. And at that point, Carly Fiorina is struggling. Ted Cruz doesn't seem to be the most likely. And so you're looking at a Rubio, Bush, Christie, Kasich, you know, kind of mainstream.
But don't you need to get
knockdown drag out? And that's what they're hoping for.
But don't you need to get two or three or four of those guys out of it? Or four would be all of them. So that, because what you're looking at here is and it was described yesterday, I think, particularly well on the ABC morning show. This is an inelastic Republican primary voter block for Trump. It sits around 20-25%. There's nothing you can do to win it or lose it with that. I mean, it just is what it is. It's a protest vote. Those are people who don't like the way things are going, and they react to the visceral nature of Donald Trump's personality. And that's what's working for him. That may not move to any of those other Republicans at this point. And so as long as he's sitting at 25% and there's eight people in this race, he wins. Right. I mean,
that's true. But the great hope, and it's gone on for months, is that Donald Trump's numbers begin to crumble.
But they haven't.
He can't stand to be humiliated. And so he leaves because he doesn't want to grovel like Jeb and have people walk around and say, are you going to pull out? Are you going to pull out? And that if he started to, you know, that Carson started to see his support deteriorate. And if the same thing happens to Trump, he would leave. And that there would be this 75% who don't like Donald Trump, or 70% who would consolidate quickly around, you know, two or three, and then two, and then one. I know we're running out of time. I know that it's 9 weeks. The Iowa caucuses are 9 weeks from tonight. It is Christmas time, and people focus off of this, mm-hmm. and opinions are hardened, and we could see this, you know, completely just stay in cement and not budge. But yeah. You know, like I said, the establishment of the Republican Party is literally praying that the tradition is going to, you know, return, and that they can beat Hillary, because they believe that if, you know, otherwise that we're going to see President Clinton.
And the problem is, uh-huh. back with 4 years ago when you had Herman Cain, who, by the way, came out and endorsed Donald Trump today.
Oh, we did.
When you have you had guys like Herman Cain, you had other people, you know, popping up. No one took him seriously.
Uh-huh.
The problem is Trump's got all the money in the world. He doesn't answer to anybody. He seems to be able to. He's Teflon. He can make stuff up and get called on the carpet for it by the media, and his numbers go up. It's like he is not. He does not react to the rules of political gravity here at all.
And now you've got Ted Cruz, who's moved into second place, bumping Ben Carson in Iowa, the new poll that was released today. And he's saying there's no way Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. But I don't know how you can say that with such certainty 9 weeks away from the Iowa caucuses.
Well, I think
he is joining establishment Republicans and hoping that this won't be true. And what's interesting is Cruz has always obviously been an ally of Trump's in this, hoping that he would get his support, his voters. Now that he's actually taking him on directly, Christie's taking him on more directly. You know, Trump is going to start fighting these guys again. I don't know if he's going to be Teflon on January 30th, but obviously there's a good chunk of the party that hopes not and believes that that something's going to start to splinter and things are going to change quickly, and that you want to be, you know, ready for this new horizon, if there's going to be one. And that's why they're staying in, and that's why you know, they're hoping. I mean, Cruz is running out of time, so he's feeling like he needs to challenge Trump directly, but that'll create a response from Trump. I mean, Trump is going to turn on Christie, he's going to turn on Cruz. You know, we're going to have more debate. There could be something that changes in December, or you're right, and nothing changes, and he becomes the nominee of just a party that the Republicans running as establishment figures right now truly don't understand anymore and don't really comprehend, you know, just how much has changed. I mean, that would be they're banking on a totally different situation, you know, than Trump actually becoming the nominee.
Okay, well, they couldn't be praying any harder than they are. A.B. Stoddard from The Hill. Thank you very
much,
A.B. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right. Wait a second here. I want to play the Jeb Bush. We'll do this right after the break.
Okay.
Jeb Bush with Cochran. Cochran asked him a great question. This is the question I think that everybody with any sanity is asking. We'll play that coming up. Here is Steve Cochran asking Jeb Bush the question we all want to know the answer to.
Great interview.
Yeah, you've got a wonderful family. You've got a nice life. You've got a great legacy of when you were governor of Florida. Why in God's name do you want this job?
Because I think we can fix the things that are broken in Washington to create high sustained economic growth and to restore America's leadership in the world. And Others may be able to do this, but I think I have the skill sets to make it happen. And it's an incredible privilege to be running. I do it with a lot of joy and a lot of excitement.
All right.
It is the question, sort of like why? Why are you doing it? And you
when Trump's leading, why are you doing it?
Why not?
All right. In the 4 o'clock hour, is Cyber Monday a cyber bummer?
I thought there were great deals out there today. I mean, I was shopping. They said that for the first time, they eclipsed the online shoppers versus Black Friday shoppers.
Oh, very interesting.
Big stat.